Listening.
Good morning. It is just about 11 o'clock, and you are tuned in to KBOO Portland. Coming up on The Boo at 11:30, Radio Zine talks to Dr. Lauren Olson, the author of Finally Out, Letting Go of Living Straight, his story of evolving sexuality and coming out as gay later in life. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. And now, coming up next, stay tuned for Health Watch. Ellen Goldsmith hears from the author of An Inside Job and presents steps to pursue physical, emotional, and spiritual healing from cancer.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Gospel of Loving Kindness at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center in Portland. The Gospel of Loving Kindness is a play by Marcus Gardley based on the true story of 15-year-old Hadiyah Pendleton, who was killed in Chicago after performing at the presidential inauguration in 2013. This play runs from March 10th through April 9th on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. Again, that's The Gospel of Loving Kindness, March 10th through April 9th on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, 5340 North Interstate in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Hello and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Ellen Goldsmith, licensed acupuncturist, your host every second Monday of the month. Today, my guest is Susan Barbara Apollon, the author of An Inside Job, a psychologist shares her healing wisdom for your cancer journey, and it has just come out in paperback this past January. Her book offers readers resources for understanding the dimensions of healing and working through a cancer diagnosis. She says, when cancer comes into your life, it is vital to embrace the idea of healing from the inside out. Healing from cancer goes far beyond a physical approach. It is a matter of the soul. Susan Apollon has specialized in integrative oncology, grief, and trauma for nearly 30 years and is a breast cancer survivor herself, as well as a researcher of consciousness and energy. Her other books include Touched by the Extraordinary, Book 1 and 2, Healing Stories of Love, Loss, and Hope, Affirmations for Healing Mind, Body, and Spirit, and she was co-author of Intuition is Easy and Fun. Susan Apollon, welcome to HealthWatch.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start with the diagnosis. You know, a lot of people live with cancer these days. It becomes a kind of chronic disease. But most people think of cancer diagnosis as a death sentence, or at least as a dreadful and terrible nightmare that they have to endure. But you believe that cancer can be an opportunity and even a gift. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes, definitely. There are always two ways to look at everything, and that's the choice that you get to make. So when cancer comes as a diagnosis that it often comes quite unexpectedly, it is a scary thing to hear those words initially. It's there's been so many myths attached to this that if you get cancer, you will automatically die. You will go through very, very difficult times and so forth. And sometimes people do die, but we are so blessed to live in the 21st century, a time in which we have a myriad of technology and we have resources now that we never had 20, 30 years ago, even 10, 15 years ago. So people are living longer now. They're learning how to take a diagnosis and to do what they need to do to be able to have a productive, quality-filled life. And so very often, and I've been doing this as a psychologist who specializes in grief, trauma, but also oncology. I've been doing this for 30 years. So I have worked with people who have initially been upset by the diagnosis, and I've had cancer too, so I know what that's like. And over time, as they go through the process of taking the treatments, deciding what they're going to do and so forth, they begin to see that they are changing. They are being transformed. Their identity is changing. Their values are changing. And they're changing in a positive way. Their relationships are changing too. And so over time, in hindsight perhaps, people are able to look back on this and say, if it were not for my cancer, I wouldn't be with the person I am now, or the community that I am now, or the people that I am now. And they begin to see things as blessings that they never looked at as blessings before, whether it's a job or relationships or your family. Things begin to look very different, and the reason they are different is because you were challenged by something that forced you to look at things very differently. And when we change our perceptions, we often experience much more joy and much more positivity than we did initially. And so, yes, it has the quality of being a gift when you look back on it. In the beginning, when you look at it and you get that diagnosis, no, it doesn't feel like a gift at all. But over time, absolutely it does.
Right. So let's just go back to that initial beginning. Like Dr. Yang, who's a physician and Chinese medicine practitioner, in your book, he talked about how the cancer diagnosis can really reactivate past trauma and mm-hmm. bring up a lot of unfinished, unresolved grief.
And it does.
Yeah. So that moment there can be enormously difficult for people to work through. And I just wondered, you know, at that moment, I just talked with a woman here when I walked in the station. She said, oh, perfect show today because my friend's friend just got diagnosed with cancer. So what to do in that moment? How to actually, you know, take those first steps in recognizing that trauma and that grief and that fear, really?
That's a good question. Okay, so the first thing is be true to your emotions. Allow yourself to feel whatever it is you need to feel. And most of us immediately go through that period of because that diagnosis comes unexpectedly, so we feel as though our grounding has been pulled from us and we don't feel we're standing and we're stable. And that's normal. That is very normal. Feel what you need to feel. And as quickly as you can, reach out for support. Reach out to family and friends, and certainly for your doctor. Ask your doctor who you might be able to speak with. Dr. Young is very emphatic about the need, and I was so grateful for his input in the book. You know, he talked about the need of seeking out a therapist, a counselor, somebody who can help you through the process. That's the first thing, is be true to how you feel. The second thing is gain the support that you need to be able to talk about how you feel. But then you want to learn to, not learn, you want to be able to speak with those who have some wisdom, who have worked with those in your situation before. And at the same time, begin to realize you have a choice. This is really important. You have a choice in how you choose to think about your situation. You can look at this as, oh my God, I might die, or I'm going to die. Or you could look at this from, I've been given a diagnosis. What do I want to do here? If you have the will to live and you truly do want to live, then you need to know you can think about this differently and say, I am going to do everything I can. I'm going to get the best medical advice. I'm going to get perhaps several opinions. I'm going to talk to those who've been through what I'm going through, because I want to be here. And I'm going to do everything I can, because I choose life, basically. I choose life. Those are very powerful words.
Absolutely.
And the reason I wrote this book is because I've been doing it for 30 years. I've helped people in your situation if you've just been diagnosed. And I know that you have the power. You were born with inherent gifts that can allow you to survive with quality of life. And I talk about healing in the book, and I tell you that healing is something that I look at differently than most other doctors do, or people who are ill. I look at it as the restoration of peace, because you're not at peace when you get that diagnosis, harmony, wholeness, well-being. It's just what you need to do to feel whole. And that diagnosis is like a major loss. It rips from you your sense of identity of being whole and healthy and well. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. So you talk a lot about putting together an integrative team. And that team, of course, from an integrative medicine perspective, includes physicians, practitioners, therapists, diet, exercise, lifestyle, stress management, all of these things that you do talk about in your book. So I just wondered, you know, what could you say to someone out there who's listening who might be wondering, well, how do I do that? And what do I look for when I put this team together?
Okay. I feel strongly that we're blessed to live in a time where we have many opportunities available to us to help us in the healing that we want to do. And so the first thing is I would create a team of doctors. How do you do that? You talk to your doctor or whoever it is that diagnosed your illness. If it's cancer, you speak to the doctor and you say, who would you recommend that I see right now? That's your first, that's the beginning. What oncologist would you recommend? What hospitals do you recommend that specialize in this or do that are known for the work that they do? Try to get a few good names. And you can ask others too, but I would start with those in the medical field. And then I would start getting opinions. It's the first thing you want to do. And once you get yourself going, and you don't even have to wait that long for that, I would find a therapist who does work with people who are dealing with cancer, if that's the situation, if it's cancer we're talking about. But it could be any other illness as well. Perhaps it's a situation of therapist that works with those with diabetes or lung problems, whatever it is. So you begin with the core people, the medical professionals who initially let you know that you have a problem, and then you can build in a therapist, and you start doing your homework. And over time, the homework can be by talking to others in your situation or going online and looking at what are the integrative types of approaches to helping you in addition to the traditional approaches. My work, for those of you who are listening, is what you would want to be doing. I integrate the medicine of the West, which is Western tradition, medical schools, advocate surgery and chemotherapy. We also have immunotherapy today is something that's also coming into the field. We have radiation. Those are the typical approaches. But you see, when you go and you start looking at the wisdom of the West, you realize that you're an energetic being. Your illness, in many ways, this is the thinking of the East, is very much in has a relationship with how you think about things. The energy of who you are and your thoughts are energy. And I talk a great deal about that. I wish everybody could understand that you are a being of energy. We live in an energetic universe, and your thoughts are energy. So how you choose to think about something has a lot to do with how you can support the work of your immune system. Your immune system will produce the kinds of cells needed to destroy cancer cells if you can support your immune system, which you do with thinking in a more upbeat, positive way. That's not to deny your fears. That's why you work with somebody. You want to acknowledge your fears, but you want to also balance them with choosing how to think about a situation that lifts you. So you have a real balance going on. So it's East and West. And you start looking at what are the ways that I can do personally to help with the healing in addition to the outside ways such as chemotherapy that can help with this as well.
So
this is what I would do to answer your question.
Sure. And that energetic aspect too, I as an acupuncturist, I know that even sometimes when we don't have such great thoughts and we and someone receives a treatment or gets input into their nervous system, that it changes how they feel, changes how they think, gives them
Yes, it does.
You know, in the book you do talk about doing different kinds of energetic work.
Acupuncture is outstanding. Tai mm-hmm. Chi, Qigong, a number of the energy medicine therapies. I talk about Eden energy medicine. I have trained in that as well, and I teach my patients that. I talk about energy psychology. There is so much you can do on an internal basis to help you. And so that's you need to think about other possibilities.
Yes, is that your phone in the background there?
It is. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It happens.
I'll go somewhere else.
Modern life here.
Thank you.
So this, you know, let's see, we're talking about, you gave some tools that people can work with as well, the ABCs that people can do on their own to work with their own energy, change and reduce some of the stress or, you know, the adrenaline that gets circulating in the body because of the fear, et cetera. So I wondered if you might share those with us as well.
Yes, I would be happy to. Again, 30 years is a long time to be working with the population. And over that time, my patients have been my teachers. And so in working with them, I would come up with various things that I felt were helpful to me that I knew could help them. And they have. So some of these are cognitive tools. I teach other tools as well. But the cognitive tools, one of them I simplified and I call it the ABCs. A stands for awareness. Be aware and put your hand on your heart and say, well, what am I feeling? Am I feeling good or not good? That's the first thing you want to do. And every feeling you have is attached to a thought of some kind. So this, the B part of this, A is being hand on your heart, what am I feeling? And the B is, what am I thinking? So then you want that awareness, what is my thought? But if you put your hand on your forehead and create an arc, whatever is going on internally at the mental level, the mind level, your cognition is impacting, if you will, what goes on at your heart level, so you feel a variety of feelings. So once you have an awareness, I'm not feeling good, and that's the simplest as you need to make it, because good means you could be frightened or worried or scared, but it's not good, meaning you're not at peace. And remember, healing is a restoration of peace, wholeness, harmony, and balance. And so you have an awareness now. I'm thinking a thought. And thought is usually, because human beings have basic thoughts, it's usually tied to the basics of I could die. and cancer does that to all of us, or I am not good enough, or I'm failing, or I'm messing up. Those are pretty much the basics. When you peel away your top layer of thought like an onion and you get down to the I part of it, that's usually where you're at. The B now is breathe. And I can't speak enough about this. You were born with the gift of breath, and it is a gift. And you can use this for all sorts of healing. We call meditation breath work, and it is. But it's just learning to focus on your breathing in through your nostrils and picture a beautiful color, if you will. Picture the breath in a beautiful pink or blue or green. And visualize that going down into your heart, lungs, and belly. And on the out-breath, which is longer than the in-breath, you want to breathe out and picture that breath picking up all of the particles of angst and pain. It's like a dark energy. You breathe it up, goes all the way up through your heart, lungs, and belly, your esophagus, and out your mouth with your lips slightly parted. You breathe in, you watch the breath come in, you breathe out through the mouth. When you learn to breathe, you can learn that you can breathe out the pain of that thought, the pain. And as you do, this is the gift of your body. Your physiology starts to produce in the brain wonderful chemicals called endorphins. And those endorphins are going to help melt you, relax you, warm you. The C part of it is simply choose a different kind of thought. It's also consciousness. Be conscious of what you're thinking and feeling. So it's awareness of how you're feeling and how you're thinking. It's breathing in peace, breathing out the pain. And then the last part is choose a picture or an image. Most of us have stored these in our heart. I use a metaphor of a treasure chest in our heart, where we've collected over our lives those special images that always bring us joy. Maybe or little videos, like when you're down at the shore and you can just instantly feel the warmth on your body and hear the waves coming in and the seagulls. Use all your senses. Or if you're up at the mountains and you're by a lake, you can hear, you know, you see, touch, feel. 30 seconds is all you need to just choose a different picture, play it as a video, and you instantly begin to feel better. And you may need to do the ABCs frequently because you're teaching your mind and your body that you're running the show and not your body or your mind. But this works. And I've oversimplified the face, embrace, breathe, replace technique that I teach in the book as well. And then there are simple mindfulness techniques that I teach. A simple mindfulness one is you just breathing in, you're breathing out, and you simply notice what comes in, what you see, touch, or feel. In other words, what give it a label. If you're breathing and suddenly you hear something, just say sound, and then immediately label it sound and breathe it out. So you're not attaching to it. Let's say you're breathing in your next breath. You notice, oh, I felt an ache in my body. Just say pain or ache. Label it. Let it go. You're not attaching to anything. Now you're creating peace, and your body is creating endorphins. There are so many wonderful, simple things you can do to internalize. That's why I call it an inside job. Help your own being experience healing, the restoration of peace, harmony, balance, and wholeness. And there are others, as I said, in the book.
If you're just tuned in and are listening, we're speaking with Susan Barbara Apollon, the author of An Inside Job, A Psychologist Shares Healing Wisdom for Your Cancer Journey. So really what you're talking about, it sounds like, is you're retraining the nervous system in a way. You're kind of in this, you're in training to...
Yes, you are. You're training your whole being.
Yeah.
And it's an energetic experience. Remember, everything we do is about energy, and our thoughts become quieted. They become more peaceful, and your body becomes more quieted and more at peace. So you are training, you know, the central nervous system for sure.
Yeah.
This is something you can do. You have the power to do that.
Which has a big impact on our immune system as well. That's what you're saying.
Right? That's what I want everybody to get, that your thoughts are tied just because they produce chemicals. And you can either produce endorphins, which are what we're producing, as what I've been talking about, and hormones and norepeptides similar to this, neurotransmitters, or if you focus on those thoughts that create anxiety and fear, you produce chemicals like cortisol, which then get your adrenaline pumping and get your heart pacing and pumping fast. And this is not a good thing for you when you want to help the immune system. You need to be producing T cells, natural killer cells, macrophage cells. These are the cells that we were born with the ability to produce, to seek out and destroy unwanted viruses in the body, and cancer is an unwanted virus. We can do that by monitoring how we feel and then shifting our thoughts to something that feels better. Focus on something that feels better. First, acknowledge the thought, feel it. If you're in grief, and I do need to emphasize this, when you're given that diagnosis, you go into a state of grief initially. This grief is about mourning a loss, something you've been attached to. Well, your identity, how you see yourself is what you're attached to. And so initially, when you talk about those initial feelings, it's like, oh my God, what happened to my health, my sense of well-being? And so that's something that you will grieve initially. And you want to express it and you want to feel it. But even to my mothers who have lost children, I will say, I want you to find the ability to laugh and find something to smile about today to balance the chemicals being produced by the grief. And this is how you begin to take charge of your healing experience.
So one thing I'm hearing, and I think it sounds very, very important, is that as much as you can do these things that are beneficial and a crucial part of your healing, your nervous system, getting your endorphins going, making choices, becoming aware, that we can't do that at the cost of ignoring our grief and trauma and fear. We have to work with both.
Not. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. We are human beings, and every trauma, every grief, every loss we've ever had absolutely is stored, the experience of that. Let me talk vibration, because everything vibrates. We're energetic beings, and quantum physics validates that we vibrate. So what you need to know is that we have scientists, wonderful scientists, MD, PhDs, who have titrated basic concepts like fear and anger and worked all the way up to joy and love and so forth, and we've learned that the vibration of experiences like feeling upset or grieving or angry are very real, and they're low vibratory experiences, and those are stored in ourselves. And the experience of feeling joy and optimism and love and so forth, those are real, and they vibrate at a higher level. So I encourage people to be aware of, feel your feelings, and then let it go. You're here to live not in fear and a fear of and grief. You're here to live actually in joy. But it's something you need to learn to choose.
So in your 30 years of working with people and dealing with very difficult life situations, what's a common theme that you've seen in people who heal?
Gratitude. A recognition that they are here for so much more than they originally thought they were here for. That, I mean, really values change. Just an understanding that what they thought was so important initially simply isn't. The jobs, the activities that we engage in, the people with whom we feel we are obligated to be. All of these things go by the wayside. When you are given this diagnosis, you then go on your own journey, and it's a journey of your soul. This whole thing is a journey of the soul. And as you go through the journey, you meet new people. You have new experiences. And your heart begins to open to various possibilities. You grow spiritually. You begin to be connected to a higher part of yourself. And so as you grow spiritually and you enrich to the depths of your soul and your spirit, you see things from a very different perspective. You begin to see things from gratitude. You express your thankfulness, your appreciation for the smallest things that you took for granted before, whether it was people or experiences or normal life activities. You go outside and you give thanks for a beautiful day and a non-beautiful day because you're still here to enjoy it. So, you know, believe me, your perspective when life changes, and this is a gift. Mm-hmm. This is one of the gifts, a major gift that comes from an experience like cancer.
And it's a gift even if you don't have cancer, right?
Yes, it is. Oh, you got it. This book that I wrote is not a book simply for cancer patients. And
right.
Many people who are reviewing it are telling me, and I know it, that this book is a book about wellness.
Right.
How do you stay well? It's the secrets to staying well.
Exactly. So if people, just because we're running out of time, Susan, if people want to be in touch with you and would like more information and buy your book, could you let our listeners know where they could go?
Yes. To buy the book, go to Amazon, please. There's a beautiful workbook I created for it to make it personal. And I have a website. It's called An Inside Job, but we added the words it's an inside job for healing cancer.com, and that's how they can contact me.
Fantastic. We've been speaking with Susan Apollon, the author of An Inside Job, a psychologist shares healing wisdom for your cancer journey. Thank you so much, Susan, for being with us this morning on Health Watch.
Well, thank you for asking me. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Ellen Goldsmith, licensed acupuncturist, your host, and you can listen to this episode and more episodes of Health Watch online at kboo.org/healthwatch.
Hi, everyone. This is Dan Johnson, and you're listening to Radio Zine. And I have a very wonderful guest that is joining us by telephone today. Dr. Lauren Olson, MD, is a board-certified psychiatrist in practice for more than 40 years. A nationally recognized expert on mature gay men, he has spoken to groups across the country and appeared on ABC TV's Good Morning America, in addition to giving numerous national, local, and regional television